that since the first of the year. We challenged you with a question. We've asked you, is it your heart's desire to glorify God? Is it your heart's desire to glorify God? And we challenged you with a couple of goals to make this year 2020 to be a year of loving God more, acknowledging that we never love God enough, and that we're not ever, you know, we're rarely ever entirely obedient to the command to love God with all our heart and with all our mind and all of our soul. And so we want, as we follow Christ, we want to be continually learning and growing and loving God more and making that the desire of our heart to glorify Him and to love Him more. And we've also thrown this other goal out there to love people more like Jesus loves people. That as we serve Christ and we love Him and we worship Him and we try to see the people around us, we need to see them the way Jesus sees them. And we need to, while we are never going to have the perfect love of Jesus until He comes again and we're with Him in His glory, we want our love to reflect His love. We want our lives to reflect His love. And so we want to love God more, and we want to love people more like Jesus loves people. Now this morning, we're looking at this. Love God, love people, hate sin. And you say, well, Randy, you've been preaching since the first of the year about love, about loving God and about loving people. And this morning, man, hate, that's like a 180 degree turn, isn't it? Instead of thinking about love, you're telling us to think about hate. Well, I'm telling you to think about hating sin. And we're going to look at what the Bible says about hating sin. And I hope that when we're done this morning, you will see and understand that hating sin is actually a part of love. That loving God and loving people more like Jesus loves people will lead us and cause us to hate sin. So hating sin is not something that comes out of us. Hating sin is something that comes out of loving God. And it's something that God puts in us. So we're going to look at this morning. We're going to start, as I told you, with two Bible verses. The first one is Psalm 97. And just the first part of that verse, verse 10 in Psalm 97. It says this, "Oh, you who love the Lord, hate evil." The psalmist addresses that to everybody who loves God. If you who love the Lord hate evil. And then Romans chapter 12, verse 9, it's a very similar. It says, "Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good." And the next verse says, "Love one another." So here we have two Bible verses talking about hating sin and hating evil, and they're right there in the middle of talking about love. It's right there in the context of talking about loving God. If you love God, hate evil. And then loving people, let your love be genuine. Don't fake it. Let it be a love that is real. And love one another, and in the middle of that, telling us to love genuinely, love one another genuinely, abhor what is evil. You say, well, Randy, I didn't hear the word sin in there in either of those verses. Well, that's okay. Let's talk about that. The word sin in the Old Testament is a word that means to go astray or to miss the mark. It's used 238 times in the Old Testament. But you know, there's other words in the Old Testament that also are talking about sin. One of them is usually translated transgression or transgressions, plural. There's a word, there's a Hebrew word in the Old Testament that is frequently translated iniquity. Iniquity. And those are words we walk around using in our modern culture all the time, talking about transgressions and iniquity. No, those aren't words we use very often. But those are words from the Hebrew, the Old Testament. And then there's another word that we hear and we use a little more often, and that's the word trespass. And of course, we use it to refer to somebody who's in a place they're not supposed to be. They don't have permission to be there. But it's a word that in the Old Testament is used to describe sin. So you've got this word that is talking about missing the mark, and you've got this word that's talking about transgression, and you've got this word that's talking about iniquity, and you've got this word that's talking about trespass. So there are quite a few words that are used in the Bible and in the Old Testament to reference sin. And the word that is used the most often is a word. The Hebrew word is literally, the Hebrew word is raw. Not R-A-W. R-A-A-H, when you transliterate it into the English alphabet. Raw. And it's a word that is used 600 times in the Old Testament. So it is the most common word used for sin, and it's translated either bad or evil. And it's the word that's here. Hate, raw. Hate, evil. And the word, the context from the root word is about that which is against the character or nature of God. So anything that is opposed to or against the nature of God is evil. I know we think that we hear the word evil and we think of, of masked murderers and serial killers and people who have done horrible, unspeakable things to children. And we think of in history people like Hitler and Stalin, and we think that's evil, and it is. But when the Bible uses the word evil, it is literally talking about anything that is against or outside the character of God. And this verse says, if you love God, you hate anything that's outside of His character. Hate evil. Hate sin. And then you've got the verse in Romans, which says, to abhor evil. Abhor evil. The next time somebody sets a plate of food in front of me that I really don't like, something I just can't stand, a food I can't stand. Macaroni. Hey, I'm not a fan of macaroni and cheese. Yeah. Don't tell the kids that. I'm not a fan of mac and cheese, but I don't hate macaroni and cheese. I'm thinking more in terms of a food I just hate. I'm going to say I abhor that. I abhor that. We don't ever use that, do we? We don't ever say we abhor something. So abhor, if you look up the meaning of the word abhor, it says to abhor evil. If you look it up, it says to regard with disgust or hatred. So basically means you look upon something and you hate it. It disgusts you. And Paul says here in Romans chapter 12, verse 9, be disgusted by evil. Hate evil. Be disgusted by sin. Hate sin. So why? Why is the Bible teaching us? Why does it say to hate sin? Why does Psalm 97, verse 10 say, hate evil? Why does Romans 12, 9 say, abhor what is evil? Hate sin. Why? You know, maybe it suffices to say that if the Bible says that you and I are to hate sin, that it follows that God hates sin. But that's why we are to hate sin, because God hates sin. God hates sin. And again, what we know about God ought to just tell us God hates sin. It just follows that God hates sin. And I hope it's an elementary thing in your understanding that God does hate sin. I hope you're not sitting here this morning pondering on this. Is Randy right? Is he telling us the truth? Does God really hate sin? I hope that as we think about that, as we say those words, God hates sin, that you say, yeah, God hates sin. But I want to give you some scripture, okay? Proverbs 8, verse 13. Proverbs 8, verse 13. You might want to note that on your listening sheet out there next to God hates sin. Proverbs 8, 13. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. The Lord says, I hate evil. I said the fear of the Lord is the same. Hating evil is we hate evil because we fear the Lord. And He hates evil. And so we hate evil. We don't want God looking down in our hearts with His hatred of evil and seeing a heart that embraces evil. We want God to look upon our heart and our mind and see a heart and a mind that also abhors evil. It says that pride, that God hates pride. It says that God hates arrogance. It says that God hates the way of evil, and even perverted speech. Think about some of the things that you say. Think about some of the things that you hear other people say, and maybe you laugh at it. Here in Proverbs 8:13, it says God hates perverted speech. So God hates evil. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 through 19, you're not going to see it up on the screen, but this is a pretty fairly well-known verse. It's a passage from Proverbs. There are six things the Lord hates. Seven that are an abomination to Him. Haughty eyes. Proud eyes. Haughty eyes. A lying tongue. And hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that make haste to run to evil. A false witness who breathes out lies. And one who sows discord among brothers. And there's seven things in there. It mentions lying and dishonesty a couple of times. Take note of that. Think about these things that are an abomination to God. Proud eyes. People, God hates those who look around them in the world and think they're better than everybody else. You see the rest of the world and you're haughty and you're proud. God hates that. Hates a lying tongue and a false witness who breathes out lies. Says that twice. Think about that. Think about what it says. It says hands that shed innocent blood. And I read that and I can't help but think of abortion. What place on this, what is there on this planet where there is more innocent blood shed than the killing of babies? I saw something the other day, 61, 71 million of them. more than all the wars in the history of man. God hates hands that shed innocent blood, hates a heart that devises wicked plans, hates feet that can't wait to get there to do something evil. And remember, that word evil means anything that's outside the character of God. Anything that's outside the nature of who God is. And God hates anybody who sows discord among brothers. Stirs the pot to raise a stink in the family or in the church or in the community. God hates it. Now there's these things that it lists, but it's pretty God hates sin, okay? And the Bible teaches us that. God hates sin. And I want you to see, we could make a longer list than this, but I want you to see three things about why God hates sin. And the first one is this. God hates sin because God is wise. God is wise. We look at mankind and we look at human beings, and one reason human beings don't always hate sin is because we're kind of stupid. We're foolish. Yeah, Pam, I remember when you told that guy that sometimes things don't happen for a reason. They just happen because we're stupid. They do dumb things. He was trying to sell her a car. So, God hates sin because of the great wisdom of God. It is foolish to embrace sin. It is foolish to run to sin. It is foolish to want to sin because of what sin is and what sin does to us in our relationship with God, and what God does, what sin does to our who we are, and what sin does to our families and to our community. Sin is bad. And that's why God hates it, because God is wise. Romans 11:33 says, "Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and how inscrutable are His ways." God is wise and He hates sin. Another thing about God that is so true that impacts this, and it's at the very heart of this, is God is holy. God is holy. Therefore, He hates sin. Isaiah 43:13, "I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. I am the Lord. I am your Holy One." Now, there are dozens, if not hundreds, of verses in the Bible that talk about God and His holiness. And so, what does it mean to be holy? What is holiness? You know, usually, I think, if I just apply the way my mind works, usually when I hear the word holy, I usually start thinking of holiness as something that's kind of like goodness, only maybe even more. Or holiness is righteousness, only maybe more. Or holiness is purity, only maybe more pure. And God is all those things. God is good, and He's righteous, and He's pure. To the level of perfection. He is perfectly good. He is perfectly righteous. He is perfectly pure. And that's kind of what we're trying to say when we say God is holy. But I'm reading and studying, and I found this guy, and I didn't write his name down. It was in a comment in an article I read. It said, holy is what God is. That when we define the word holy, that's just what God is. God is holy. And we cannot accurately and completely define God. I guarantee you, any definition, you try to put pen to paper and write a definition of God, it's not going to do God justice. It is going to fall short of describing who God is. It's going to fall short of His glory. It's going to fall short of His greatness. It's going to fall short of His power. And it's going to fall short of His holiness. God is infinite in His perfection. He is. So whatever words, human words from our human language that we try to apply to God, it always falls short. It never does justice. And you know, these songs that we sing, when we put them to music and we sing about the Waymaker, and we sing about angel armies, and we sing about all I have is Christ. When we sing these worship songs, they always leave something out. They're never quite, they can never be the end all and all of who God is. Our words cannot do it justice. And so the same thing is true about when we start talking about the holiness of God. He is so perfectly pure and perfectly good and perfectly just and perfectly right that our words can never fully explain His holiness. He is always more. So God is wise and God is holy, and that's why He hates sin. One more thing here. And this is what I really want us to get this morning. God hates sin because God is love. God hates sin because God is love. Now, 1 John chapter 4, it's a longer verse than what is usually quoted. But 1 John chapter 4, verse 16 says God is love. And that's, we hear that quite a bit, and it's pretty popular statement in the church, but it's also pretty popular outside the church, where people just want to say, well, God is love, and that's all you got to know about God is that God is love. I kind of want to read that passage. 1 John chapter 4, beginning with verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. And anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. That's verse 8. And then verse 9. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He took God's wrath. That's what that means. Beloved, verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. Verse 13, by this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us His Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in Him and He is in God. Here's verse 16. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. The second time in that passage. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. I want you to hear this. In this passage that is talking all about the love of God and talking all about us also loving, because God loves us and He is love, and if we abide in Him, we also love. In this passage, it's talking about the love of God. All of a sudden, it talks about God's judgment. Have confidence for the day of judgment, because as He is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. So in the middle of all that talk about the love of God is a reminder that God judges sin. And I want you to understand this. The reason he judges sin is because he's wise and because he's holy, but also because he is love. God hates sin because God is love. Sin kills. Sin destroys. Sin oppresses. Sin enslaves. Sin pollutes. The wages of sin, the Bible says, is death. And ultimately, sin separates us from God. God hates sin because he loves you, and your sin separates you from him. I want you to think about a family, a dad and a son. And I want to thank you. I want you to think about how much that dad loves that son that he held in his arms when that son was a newborn baby, and he played with him and taught him things as a toddler, and he took him by the hands and taught him how to walk, and as he grew, he taught him how to throw a ball, and he taught him how to drive a car, and other things that dads teach their sons because they love them. And then think about it as the son gets older and he drifts away from his dad. And then this particular son does something that is offensive and goes against everything that that loving father has taught him. And it separates that son from his dad. Do you think that dad doesn't hate that sin that separates his son from him? God hates sin because it separates you from God. Isaiah 59 verse 2 says, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Now that's not some little trivial temporary separation. Since Molly came to live with us back in December, I've told you some little stories about Molly. I may have told you this before. If we tell her to do something she doesn't want to do, she hides her eyes. She's got a little chair she sits in, and she turns her back to you and she sticks her nose down in the corner of that chair and she hides her face from us, literally. If I can't see him, maybe he can't see me and he won't make me go get in my crate. She hides her face. Isaiah says that our sin causes our face to be hidden from us, from God, and says he does not hear. This isn't a little trivial temporary separation. No, this is potentially an eternal separation. A separation that required Jesus to die on the cross for us to be reconciled to God. This is important stuff. This is serious stuff. Being separated from God meant the Son of God had to come to earth and die on a cross to reconcile us. That's why God hates sin. God hates sin because God is love. Now, there's a difficult paradox that's in Scripture. It's kind of hard to deal with and understand. We're going to take a shot at it. I'm not going to pretend to fully be able to explain it. You know what a paradox is, don't you? Two apparently self-contradictory statements or propositions that both prove to be true. On the surface, you hear them and you say, well, one could be true, but they couldn't both be true. That seems to be two opposite things. And there's more than one paradox in the teachings of Scripture. But this is one. Because the Bible tells us that God hates sinners. And the Bible also tells us that God loves sinners. And that sounds like a paradox. Well, how can it be that God hates sinners? How can it be that the God who hates sinners is also the God who loves sinners? And we read a verse that talks about the love of God. We go, yay, God loves me. And then we read a verse that says God hates sinners. And we go, oh man, does God hate me? I know I'm a sinner. Psalm 5, verses 5 and 6. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all evildoers. This isn't talking about some person. This is talking about God. God hates all evildoers. You destroy those who speak lies. The Lord abhors. He's disgusted by and hates the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all evildoers. You destroy those who speak lies. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. We read that and we go, oh yeah, bloodthirsty. Yeah, I can see why God hates that guy. He's bloodthirsty. And God abhors, is disgusted by violent, bloodthirsty men. It also says he hates and abhors people who speak lies. And then it says, who are deceitful. This morning, please don't complicate things by claiming that you've never lied. Please don't complicate things by claiming that you have never in your life in some way been deceitful. And you know who we are deceitful before, maybe more than we are any human being, as we try to deceive God. We try to deceive God about our sin. And you can't do it. God will not be mocked. The Bible says in the book of Galatians. He knows our hearts. He knows our minds. He knows our thoughts. We cannot deceive God about our sins. But we sometimes, often, probably try. And God hates deceit. And then it also says he hates all evildoers. And remember what we told you, that in Hebrew, evil is anything that is contrary to the character of God. So that would mean evildoer is anyone who acts in a manner contrary to the character of God. Now, there are many other scriptures that tell us that God hates sinners. 14 times in the first 50 Psalms, the Bible says that God hates evildoers and his wrath is upon them. We all know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. We all know that verse about God's love, but how many of us know John chapter 3 verse 36? Do you know John chapter 3 verse 36? It says this, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. And we go, yay, yeah, that sounds good. But then it says, whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. God pours his wrath out on sinners who disobey him. So does God hate sinners, really? Does he hate sinners? The Bible says he does. We say, but doesn't that just mean God hates the sin but loves the sinner? God hates the sin but loves the sinner? By the way, you do know, don't you, that those words, hate the sin but love the sinner, they don't appear in the Bible anywhere. Those words are not biblical words. And on the surface, that sounds really good, and it's a very popular phrase right now in our culture and in our church. You want to know where that comes from? And sometime between 350 and 430 AD, St. Augustine wrote a letter to a group of nuns, and he said, have love for mankind, hatred for sin. That's the, just in writings, and that's the earliest place we can kind of find that principle at work in the writings of St. Augustine. In 1929, Mahatma Gandhi wrote an autobiography. Do you know who Mahatma Gandhi is? You should. If you don't know who Gandhi is, your education system has failed you. And if you haven't gotten to that chapter in world history yet, that's okay. Mahatma Gandhi. 1929, he wrote an audible... He was kind of a Hindu, by the way. He wasn't a Christian, okay? He wrote this, "Hate the sin, not the sinner." So we're running around saying, "Hate the sin, love the sinner." We're quoting Gandhi. Now, if you read the whole paragraph there in his biography, that's not exactly the complete thought, because he went on to say that this is rarely practiced, and that when it is, it's extremely difficult to see someone first or chiefly as a sinner and then love them. So maybe instead of telling us to love the sinner, Jesus did that. He didn't want to lead us to judge others as sinners, to see people as sinners. And so we think of them as sinners, but now I'm supposed to love them. So Jesus never said, love the sinners. No, what he doesn't want us to hold people in disdain for their sin. No, he said, love our neighbor and love our enemies and love each other as he's loved us. But again, right here, what does it say here? It says God hates all evildoers. God hates sinners. So what are we to make of this? We know John 3:16 says God loves the world. The world's full of sinners. Romans 5:8 says God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So God loves sinners. So here we have the Bible saying God hates sinners, and we have the Bible saying God loves sinners. And it's a paradox. God has a holy hatred of sin and a holy judgment of sin. Don't think of your sin as something apart from who you are, though. Our sin is not something outside of us. Our sin is very much a part of who we are. Sin is absolutely a part of who we are. And we are so stained by sin that our flesh cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. Even the child of God, we're walking around, our sins are forgiven, Christ has cleansed us of our sins, but our bodies are still stained by sin. And so when we die, we have to leave our earthly bodies behind. Because that flesh and blood, sin-stained body is never going to heaven. The Bible tells us God will change even our bodies, and they will be transformed, and they will become like the body that Christ has. But that's all about sin. It's all about sin. Go read, your homework today is to read 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Go read that whole chapter, all of it. So God is holy. His holy and just hatred of sin rests on sinners. So when the Bible talks about God hating sinners, it is talking about God's wrath and hatred of sin, which is a part of who we are. But when Jesus went to the cross, he didn't just pay the price for our sin, for our lying and our lusting and our gossiping and our self-centered selfishness. He stood in our place and he took the wrath, the holy hatred, the holy judgment, holy wrath that was due not only our sin, but was due us, and took our place and took it upon himself. David Platt said this, "The essence of sin is that man substitutes himself for God. The essence of salvation is that God substitutes himself for man." We try to put ourselves in God's place, and God came down and put himself in our place and took our sin and died to redeem us. So somehow, infinite God both hates sinners and loves sinners. And I'm pretty sure I'm not able to perfectly explain how that can be. Just that the Bible makes both of those statements, and that they are both true somehow. Now, what about you and me? As we follow Jesus, we follow a God who hates sin. What do? Our text in Psalms and Romans, those are commands. Hate evil. Abhor what is evil. God hates sin, so hate sin. I want two things here. Hate the sin that's in the world. This morning, hate the sin that's in the world. The Bible clearly teaches that sin is in the world. Romans 5 says that by one man, sin came into the world, and that there was sin in the world even before the law was given. So to hate sin means that as followers and lovers of God, we are to hate the sin that's in the world. The murder and the sexual immorality and the abortion and the violence and the bigotry and the greed and the theft and the lying and the gossip and the oppression and the injustice, especially the injustice against the powerless, widows and orphans. Hate the sin that's in the world. But we also are to hate the sin that is in you. Hate the sin that is in you. I am to hate the sin that is in me. Colossians 3:5 says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Put that to death. Doesn't say to hate yourself, but it tells us to hate the sin that is in us. And to put it to death, to get rid of it. We cannot put our old nature away from us if we love it. If we embrace it, we must hate it, abhor it, be disgusted by it. That's what leads us to repentance. That's what leads us to godly sorrow, where we turn away from the sin that disgusts us and that we hate, to follow the Savior that we love. Turn it over to the Holy Spirit in you to replace the old with the new fruit of the Spirit. And to replace those old desires and those sinful natures and that evil that we are to abhor, replace it with the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love and kindness, patience. The things that grow out of the Holy Spirit's presence in our life. And then we're to obey God. Hate sin, obey God. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So obey God. Hate sin. We've been talking about this for several weeks now. Love your neighbors. They are sinners. Love your enemies, also sinners. And love like Jesus loves you. Yet another sinner. Love God, love people. Hate sin. Heavenly Father,